Jara Dharma Dava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Valava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Valava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Tunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Tunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Valava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Valava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Tunja Vihariya. Jaya Radha Madhava Tunja Vihariya. Jaya Madhava Tunja Vihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Purvi Chakacharya Asutara Shatashri Shri Madhya Sabandari Sabavichana Vindabhati Vidanda Sankopad Ki Jaya Nantakoti Vaitama Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chama Kunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Shri Vandamai Ki Jaya Shri Vandamai Ki Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya Vizavan Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Lord Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jaya Lord Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya Lord Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jaya Lord Shri Shri Lakshmi Nishinga Dev Ki Jaya Shri 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 Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jaya Iskandu Raman Rati Dham Ki Jaya Jai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru Nanak.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, entitled The Lord in the Heart, text number 8.
Kechit swadehan taridav yavakase. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka. Gadadaram dharanaya smaranti. Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka. Gadadaram dharanaya smaranti. Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka. Gadadaram dharanaya smaranti.
Please chant.
Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka. Gadaradam dharanaya smaranti.
Mothers.
Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka. Gadadaram dharanaya smaranti.
Mothers.
Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Chaturbhujam kanja ratanga shanka. Gadadaram dharanaya smaranti. Kechit swadehan taridaya vakashe. Pradeshamatram Purusham Vasantam Chaturbhujam Kanjaratanga Shankha Gadadaram Dharanayasmaranti.
Word for word, Kechit, others. Swadeha Antaha, within the body. Ridaya Avakashi, in the region of the heart. Pradesha Matram, measuring only 8 inches. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Vasantam, residing. Chatu Bhujam, with 4 hands. Kanja, lotus. Rata Anga, the wheel of a chariot. Shanka, conchal. Gadadaram, and with a club in the hand. Dharana, Dharanaya, conceiving in that way. Smaranti, do meditate upon him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shivasi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Others conceive of the personality of Godhead residing within the body in the region of the heart and measuring only 8 inches, with 4 hands carrying a lotus, a wheel of a chariot, a conch shell, and a club, respectively. Purport. The all-pervading personality of Godhead resides as Paramatma in the heart of each and every living entity. The measurement of the localized personality of Godhead is estimated to expand from the ring finger to the end of the thumb, more or less 8 inches. The form of the Lord described in this verse with distribution of different symbols, beginning from the lower right hand up and down to the lower left hand with lotus, wheel of a chariot, conch shell and club respectively, is called Janardana, or the plenary portion of the Lord who controls the general mass. There are many other forms of the Lord with varied situations of the symbols of lotus, conch shell, etc., and they are differently known as Purushottam, Achyuta, Narasimha, Trivikram, Rishikesh, Kesho, Madhava, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Shankarshan, Sridhara, Vasudev, Damodar, Janardana, Narayana, Hari, Padmanab, Vamana, Madhusudan, Govinda, Krishna, Vishnumurti, Adhokshita, and Upendra. These 24 forms of the localized personality of Godhead are worshipped in different parts of the plenary system. And in each system there is an incarnation of the Lord having a different Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual sky, which is called Paravyoma. There are many other hundreds of scores of different forms of the Lord, and each and every one of them has a particular planet in the spiritual sky, of which this material sky is only a fragmental offshoot. The Lord exists as Purusha, or the male enjoyer, although there is no comparing him to any male form in the material world. But all such forms are Advaita, none different from one another, and each of them is eternally young. The young Lord with 4 hands is nicely decorated, as described below. Om Gyan Tumandasya Gyan Janashalakya Chakshuram Vitam Yenatasmai Shri Guru Vinaya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vinkaya Shri Vishnu Vibhav Pavitinanya Shri Shri Vrindata Vibhura Padapadvanka Jadaya Prabhupada Nivadaya Namo Shri Vibhavya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vinkaya Shri Matibhakti Vivanta Swami Vitinanya Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachayana Vivashesha Sambhavari Prasthaya Vinkaya Shri. Hare Krishna. So this chapter is entitled The Lord in the Heart. It's being described in this verse, the feature of this personality, as described here, that the Lord takes on, he has different forms, and these different forms can be identified, these Vishnu type of forms, due to the position of the these four items in the hands of the Lord, which is namely the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. So here there are 24 forms that are described. And that means that due to the different positions in which hand which item is located, then the Lord has a particular form, in that way there is a name for that form, and there are 24 given here. I haven't done the probability calculations to see how many combinations you can have.
96.
Okay, yeah. I haven't done it myself. It's something I would like to do. I always like to do probability when I was in school. So anyway, but 24 are mentioned here. Even though it's also described that there are unlimited forms of the Lord. So on each one of these forms, they have their own planets. They have a particular planet in the spiritual sky. And it's described that the material world is only a minute offshoot. So generally it's described that the material world is a one-fourth or a quarter of the whole creation. So this is also a comparison, because the spiritual world is unlimited. So if that's unlimited, then the quarter, which is the material world, can also be understood to be unlimited, because you cannot estimate a quarter of something that's unlimited, so you won't be able to do that. So from that understanding, we understand that the material world is also unlimited in that way. So here it's described that the Lord is perceived to have about 8 inches, which Srila Prabhupada described in his purport here, from the tip of the ring finger to the thumb. And my hands are extremely big, so they're about 8.5 inches, but generally it's about 8 inches if you measure that distance. And that's the size that the Paramatma feature is perceived of by the yogis. So there are three spiritualists that are described in this connection. You have the Gyanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. So the Gyanis are the impersonalists or Mayavadis, who is also approaching Krishna, but in this impersonal form. So they're also approaching, and they do that through their knowledge, but they're doing it in a very limited way. And then the second feature of the Paramatma feature of the Lord, which is actually described here in this verse, they are the yogis who meditate upon this form of the Lord, which is also limited, and it's without varieties, as we would discuss later on. And then the third is the bhaktas, or the devotees, who always see the Lord as Bhagwan with varieties of activities. So in the lineage of incarnations and manifestations, we first have Krishna, then from him
the fourth expansion is Baladev. Then from that expansion comes Shankarshan. Then from Shankarshan, then the Narayan expansion comes. Then from Narayan expansion comes the next expansion of the second Shankarshan. Then after that Shankarshan comes Shiradakashayi Vishnu, which is also the Lord of the Heart and is also known as Janardhan or Paramatma. So this form that what you describe in this purport in the positions of how these four items, the club, lotus, disc, and chakra, club, lotus, chakra, and what's the other one, conch shell. The position, what is described here, this form of the Lord is called Janardhan. So, and this Janardhan is the one that controls the mass in the material world. So he's also the Paramatma within the heart that directs and stays with the living entities as Srila Prabhupada describes in, I think it's toward the first verse of the second chapter of the first canto. It's described here. So the Lord in the heart has this manifestation. So again, it's this particle form is the Shiradakashayi Vishnu, which is also known as Janardhan because of the position of these four items in the hands of the Lord, and is also called Paramatma. So it actually, this form of the Lord, he actually governs and he accompanies the living entities. So whenever there's creation, the Lord accompanies every living entity, a super soul within the heart. So this super soul is the Paramatma and is also addressed as Janardhana, because he not only accompanies the soul within the material world. And this is every living entity, not only human beings, every living entity, even the microscopic living entities, the Lord is there accompanying them, and he forms a witness to their activities. So, not only that he accompanies them, but he also fulfills the desires of the living entities, and he also accepts their bhava. So another name for this Janardhan form is Bhava Grahi Janardhana. So there is one letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to his disciple, Mandali Bhadra in 1969, May 25th. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, "But in everything we do devotion and sincerity are the real things." Sorry, let me repeat that. "But in everything we do, devotion and sincerity are the real things. There is a word in Sanskrit, Bhava Grahi Janardhana. This means the Lord accepts service in devotional emotion. If you are sincere in offering something to the Lord in devotional love, he will accept it. The procedure may not be very right, but the desire being sincere, he accepts our offering. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, that he accepts foodstuffs from devotees because they are offered to him in complete love and affection." So this is the form of Bhava Grahi Janardhana, or commonly we address as Janardhan, that he stays with us, he witnesses our activities, and he also grants our desires, so even if that desire is a material one. And if that desire is spiritual, however we perceive him within our tiny capacities, due to our sincerity and love, then he not only accepts the offering, but he also accepts and he manifests that form to please the devotees. In the pastimes of Lord Jagannath, there are many, many examples of this. This is going to take a long time to describe them. There are many, many. Just one example of this is, there was one bhakta, he was a devotee of Lord Ganesh. And he heard that if you go to Lord Jagannath, if you take darshan of Jagannath, then you'll get liberation. So he traveled a long distance and he went to Jagannath Puri. And he happened to reach there the day before Ratha Yatra, just the day before when they were doing the final bathing of the Lord. And when he reached there, he saw Lord Jagannath without arms that he knows of, and he saw with this big bulging smiling face, big bulging eyes, bright smiles. And he looked and he said, this is not the Lord that he knows of, that this Lord cannot satisfy my desires. How can he give liberation? That my Lord is Ganesh. He has this elephant trunk and, you know, he has this form. So that's how he's conceiving of the Lord, but in this form. So then he left and he went away. So as he was going, he was thinking that, that this is not true what people are saying, that this Lord can give liberation. So then Lord Jagannath left and went behind him. And just about the outskirts of the city, he caught hold of him. He said, come back. He said, just come back and I'll show you that my form is the same form as you're meditating of in your heart, the Lord of the heart, as the way you see him. So when he came, he saw Lord Jagannath with the elephant trunk and this special party dress. So since then, on that day of the Snanyatra, the day before Ratiyatra, you have this dress, a special dress that Lord Jagannath's wear. It's called a Hathi Vesha, that the form of the elephant, and he has this dress like that. So, excuse me, that's one example of how the Lord as Bhavagrahi Janardana satisfy his devotees. As for the Lord, nothing is impossible. He can do anything. Any form he can manifest in. So there are several quotes here from Srila Prabhupada that talks about different devotees, how they see the Lord. So this one here is from the first canto, 9th chapter, 42nd verse, the pastimes of Bhishmadev, how he sees the Lord as against the gopis. So the worship of object of Bhishmadev is Lord Sri Krishna as part of Sarati. And that of the gopis is the same Krishna in Vrindavan as the most attractive Shyamasundar. Sometimes less intelligent scholars make a mistake and think that the Krishna of Vrindavan and that of the Battle of Kurukshetra are different personalities. But for Bhishmadev, this misconception is completely removed. Even the impersonalist object of destination is Krishna, as the impersonal jyoti, and we just discussed that. And the yogi's destination of Paramatma is also Krishna. Krishna is both Brahma jyoti and localized Paramatma. But Brahma jyoti and Paramatma are not full representations of Krishna. In Krishna, they are both Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma. But in Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma, there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In his personal feature, Krishna is both Paratasharati and Shyamasundar of Vrindavan. But only in his impersonal feature is he the Brahma Jyoti and the Paramatma. Great Mahatmas like Bhishmadev realize all these different features of Lord Sri Krishna, and therefore they worship Lord Krishna with one pointed attention, knowing him as the origin of all features. So, yet again, according to this purport here, that the different devotees, they see the Lord differently. And when the devotee see the same Paramatma feature of the Lord, because he sees that feature not only as the 8-inch personality sitting there as Paramatma, but he see the Lord with the varieties of activities and pastimes. So when he sees the Lord in that form, what he's seeing is actually Bhagavan, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his full feature. And Prangavinda Prabhu touched a little bit on this yesterday. So the part of the class I heard. So this Bhagavan feature of the Lord is the one with the varieties of activities. So even though one may just be meditating on the Lord, but because he's a devotee, not a yogi, then he sees beyond the Paramatma feature. He sees the Lord as Bhagavan. One example of this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with Narasingha Das Brahmachari, when that very popular pastime when he was meditating on the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya was coming, he was, because he was so poor, he can't physically do it, but he was meditating that, oh, he would decorate the roads nicely, sprinkle them with flowers and scented water, and he decorate like this whole transcendental atmosphere. And then he would cook sweet rice. So while he was cooking sweet rice, he wanted to test it to make sure it's not too hot for the Lord. And when he put his finger in it in his meditation, his finger actually got burnt. So this is one example of how the devotee meditates on the Lord as in the heart, but not as the Paramatma feature, even though that's the form he's meditating on. But because he's a devotee, he's seeing the Lord with all his activities, then that form becomes the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, of the varieties of activities. And that's how the advanced devotees carry themselves. Like Srila Prabhupada describes that for the neophyte devotees, then we have the temple worship where we perform the offerings and the services, pujas every day. So the purpose of this worship that Srila Prabhupada set up every day and listening to the Bhagavatam, even though the speaker may or may not be qualified, but because the words are transcendental, then some effect is there, that the purpose of all this practice, of all this worship, is we learn to observe these activities within our heart and always carry this worship with us. So it's described like the advanced devotees and the sannyasis, that when they travel, they don't have elaborate deity worship, because they're traveling, they can't do deity worship as we can do here every day to the temple, which is a great advantage that we should all take advantage of, that we're here in this community. There are no traffics to hold us up from getting to the temple, pretty much. I remember when I go to New York, the temple was just a few miles down the road, but it's such a nightmare to get to the temple, with so much traffic and so forth. But here we don't have that problem. A couple of weeks ago I was in one of the islands near Santo Domingo, and I was staying, which ordinarily is just about 15 minutes from the temple, but when it gets traffic time, it can take up to an hour and a half just to get there. And it's just when I check the meters, it's something like 10 miles or less. But with the traffic, and their traffic is not like here, that's controlled and regulated, and people understand to read signs. They don't. Everyone bores in everywhere. It's like you're in India, you know, like when you kind of are two cars are coming in opposite direction, and you try to stick a pen between, the pen would be touched on either side, like that. So sometimes, yeah, so things like that. But here, we have a wonderful opportunity here in Alachua that there's pretty much, there are no traffic lights, one or two, and people are very courteous. And if you're not, then the police is there to help you. He also help you right out here, sometimes stopping cars speeding for Mangalarti. And they would tell them, just calm down, you know. They know that they're coming to the temple. Now and then they will give a ticket, like the last time, we were driving back from California. We went to Ratiyaksha there, and we were just going, you know, 80, 90 miles per hour. And somewhere this police from nowhere out on the other side of the hill caught me, stopped, he stopped, stop us. I said, you know, you're speeding, right? Well, I had no answer because, yes, it was true. And then he peeked into the vehicle and he saw my family just laying there sleeping because we had the seats all spread out. And he looked at me. He said, where did you go? So, you know, as usual, the devotee take an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. So I said, yes, well, we went to LA and, you know, we had this festival called Festival of Chariots and you know, we had what we call Ratiyatra. And he laughed and he said, you know, I'm from Alachua. He said, listen, don't go so fast. Go up to 80 now. Don't go faster than that. I'm not going to give you a ticket. I grew up in Alachua. I know all the Hare Krishnas. So, but take it easy. So anyway, yeah, Krishna's in the heart, right? That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So anyway, like that, the Lord is there in the heart. I don't know exactly what I was talking about before I get to that conversation, but oh, we're talking about traffic and all of that. So anyway, we talked about the Lord being this personality who satisfies our desire, Bhava Grahi Janardana. And there's some other quotes here from Srila Prabhupada. This one comes from the first canto, second chapter, 28 and 29 verses. It says, the process, however, includes several bodily features such as asana, dhyana, pranayama, and meditation. And all of them are meant for concentrating upon the localized aspect of Vasudeva represented as Paramatma. Paramatma realization is but partial realization of Vasudeva. And if one is successful in that attempt, one realizes Vasudeva in full. But by ill luck, most yogis, Hare Krishna, most yogis, are stranded by the powers of mysticism achieved through the bodily process. Ill-fated yogis are given a chance in the next birth by being placed in the families of good learned brahmanas or in the families of rich merchants in order to execute the unfinished task of Vasudeva realization. If such fortunate brahmanas and sons of rich men popularly utilize the chance, they can easily realize Vasudeva by good association with saintly persons. Unfortunately, such preferred persons are captivated again by material wealth and honor, and thus they practically forget the aim of life. So this actually, I would say mystically, came up because 2 days ago my wife was discussing the same question with me. We were talking about this, that, oh, you know, scripture says that the fallen yogis, they're going to come back and maybe brahmana families or rich families and get an opportunity. But we're seeing all around with the influence of Kali Yuga, how when they get here, they just, you know, misuse their opportunities of material life, and they don't take, you know, they pretty much fall away. So yes, it's true. But there's also the opportunity that we have that if we can somehow learn to practice this remembrance ourselves and try to share it and spread it with others through our devotional activities that Srila Prabhupada set up, then these same fallen yogis, of whom even Srila Prabhupada said that some of these devotees, they're actually yogis and great personalities in the past. But if they and us practice as much as possible, then we can help to attract others who might also be fallen yogis or so forth in their past life, that they get this opportunity to come forward and regain their Krishna consciousness. Like the other day on the Rath Yatra, this after the festival, this one man came. He said, please tell me the name of this festival, and just give me in a short sentence what this is all about, because he won't remember much. So then the devotee asked, he turned to me, he said, hey, Dharmaraj, you explain to him, because he can't explain in short. So I don't know, he was turning to the same person like him also. So anyway, I told him this is the Festival of Chariots, it's called, and we gave him a little short as to what it's all about. So by the time I finished giving him the short, he said, tell me again the name of the festival. So then he took out his phone and he wrote it in. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? So at that point, I got shocked. Uh-oh. So he said, I'm going to put this on my Facebook and I'm going to put this up on YouTube, because I've taken some videos that is so attractive that I'm taking some videos and I'm going to watch it over and over, and I'm going to post it and help to propagate your mission. So I said, wow, that's so wonderful. Then this other guy came. He said, you know, I couldn't have, you know, I heard a little bit, but we didn't hear much. So he and his wife and his son, they said they were up on like the 15th or 20th story of one of the buildings out on the beach there, and they saw us and it became very attractive. So he said he had to come and find out what this is all about, that is so sweet. And he would also post his pictures. So again, from that we can understand that these people just doesn't come out of the blues, as we would say. It's some attraction within the heart. There's some revival, there's some past karma that brings them like that. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said, he told his disciples, he said, I have created your good fortune. So this is the influence of a devotee, that he helps to create that good fortune wherever he goes. So it's important that we do that, so even rich people or even pious people can actually come about, and they can actually want to come closer to Krishna. We actually had the other incident when we were coming back that night from the Rath Yatra. We stopped at a gas station. Well, we have this big truck and trailers and this small gas station. We go and we got blocked there, a vehicle was there, we can't pass, so we kind of stuck there for a while. So I went in the store, coming back out, I saw there's this Indian man there talking to my wife, and he was so fired up and excited. And then he turned to me, because she told him that, okay, here's my husband coming there. So we started talking, and he's so excited, he said, you have to come to my house. Look, I'm right over there. He has this hotel, motel right next door across the street. He said, you have to come, that you have to come and bring Thakurji here. That somehow or the other he recognized, he said, where we live in India, we have ISKCON programs, and from a distance he recognized this cart. He don't normally come outside, but for some reason he decided to come out, recognized this cart, and he said, this looks like a Rath Yatra cart. So he came over, and there through this tinted glass, he recognized Lord Jagannath in the back seat of the truck. And we were so tired, we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, that it was like after 8 at night, and we have to drive close to 3 hours to get home. But he was so sweet and determined that, oh, you have to come to my house. bring this truck and trailer. I said, we can't fit. He said, yes, I'm going to make sure that you're going to fit in this tiny hotel parking lot. And that we have to come. They want to come. Bring Jagannath inside. I said, no, that's not going to happen. It take a lot of time to set up, to bring in. He said, come, that I want your Thakur Ji to come and give darshan to my Sitaram at home. So he has these beautiful Sitaram deities that they worship every day. They take care of. They do offering. He said, come, at least take something, that at least take some coffee. So I said, no, we don't drink coffee. He said, oh, so therefore you don't drink tea either. So I said, no, we don't. So, but anyway, that's our only bad habit, that we're pure vegetarians, we don't use onion or garlic, we make offering, and we have visited the temple, but we just want you to come so we can take darshan, we can do puja. So he was so like exciting, and he actually made me feel that, okay, we should learn to be excited about Lord Jagannath also. Then I was thinking that, oh, with all, you know, we are doing this service, but I have never been so excited about the deities. When I saw this person, it actually gives me a lot of understanding of how we should be enthusiastic about worshiping the Lord. So, like that again, I see it as Krishna's arrangement, interaction within the heart. And now this, you know, that he got in touch with us, and now he's so excited. He has rooms, he has place to stay, and, you know, it's all very clean, and he's inviting us to go and do programs, bhajan, stay overnight. Next time he said, don't drive 3 o'clock in the morning, come to Ratha Yatra all over here, come and stay overnight. Bring your whole family, bring everybody you want to bring. We'll empty the motel. We'll stay. We have prasadam. You know, everything is there. Don't worry. We have tulsis. Everything for offering. So like that. You know, like Krishna is within the heart, and he kind of, you know, he makes all these arrangements. But we just have to stay. Like Srila Prabhupada said, all you have to do is to stay. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada says, don't leave, just leave here. Because of his accent, the devotees couldn't have understand what he was saying. So Prabhupada is saying, don't leave to go away, just live here, just stay together. And that's our success. So anyway, these are some points I had on this, and other points came up which I wasn't planning on anyway. But if anyone has any questions, Jitari Prabhu. You have a microphone available? It's coming.
You have such a big program there with the cart and everything, but what's interesting is that even small things like yesterday we were on Harinam down in Alatra here, and actually the first person that I just out on the street there and pass out books, and the Harinam's going on, so it kind of warms people up as they go by, and you hear the mantra, and we give them a book. And Guru Agni, he makes some little sweets that we give them. But what's interesting is that, you were talking about how people have, from maybe a previous life, engaged in some pious activity, and so then they get a chance to engage in devotional service. So it's interesting, you know, there's always some really sweet people that just like are really warmed by seeing the devotees. A lot of times they'll give a donation or say, oh, well, where are you from? Last one person said, oh, I'm from Georgia. Another person was from West Virginia. I said, well, have you ever been to Prabhupada's Palace of Gold? And he said, no. Well, you got to look it up. And so it's the Harinam, the Ratha Yatras are just like Prabhupada's mission to kind of like comb the earth for give people a chance for devotional service. It's wonderful.
Yeah, there's always that opportunity. Actually, I was in Puerto Rico also a couple of weeks ago, and one amazing thing there was, well, the hurricane damaged the temple, and their FEMA is helping to, you know, rebuild. So out of, I don't know how many at least 100 inspectors they have to go around the island. So one man came to the temple. His inspector came as a representative. And, you know, he was inspecting the building and see what has to be done, what repairs, because they were just repairing the building exactly as it is. And then he came in the temple room with the temple president. And out of the blues, he went and he offered obeisances, flat dandavats. Well, they have three set of deities, they just like we have here. But they have, Krishna Balaram is in the center, Radhishyam and Gaunitai. So he went straight to the center altar to Krishna Balaram and he offered full dandavats. I don't know what he said when he lay down, but when he got up back, he folded his hands. He said, "Oh, Balaram, I promise you help for this temple, that we're going to get you, that we're going to get this temple rebuilt." And so the devotee was shocked and he turned to him, he said, "Myself and my girlfriend visited New Vrindavan some time back. We visited the temple. And he was so attracted that he is glad he had this opportunity to come here and offer some service." So, you know, again, it's like all these different opportunities come and people are inspired one by one. So, and this is kind of multiplying so much. It's like a pyramid starting with Srila Prabhupada only and then his few disciples. And then Srila Prabhupada wanted to expand that. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada just started, he had about 12 followers. So he wrote a letter to the Pope, who had at that time about 9 million followers. And he said, "Oh dear sir, let us join forces with your followers and my followers. We can come together and we can conquer the world." And 9 million is against 12. But that is Prabhupada's vision. So he wants to join forces with everything. And so then that pyramid started and now it's going on and on. So now it's like whenever you go to a yatra, you can find disciples of so many gurus. For us, when you go to one place, it's only disciples of one spiritual master. Now there's so much varieties and things are spreading out. And now many people knows about Krishna anywhere you go, you know. They knows about Krishna almost anywhere. I was surprised when I went to the Spanish countries, you know. They also know. You know, they were asking, we were in Harinam this Saturday afternoon. And then they were shouting to the devotees in Spanish and I asked, "What did you say?" So, "Oh, they're saying, where were you, Hare Krishnas? We haven't seen you such a long time. You know, we're so excited that we want to." So then they came and we were having kirtan and dancing. And then I told them, "Chant and dance." And they look at me with their mouths open. I said, "Chant and dance." And then realized, uh-oh, they don't know English. And I said, "Kantai Bail." And then they all start chanting and dancing, you know, up and down. They start dancing. So, and, you know, it's like, so nice that so much people knows Krishna. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Abhigyan,
Prabhu? Abhigyan.
Yeah.
Thank you for the very nice class. My question is, you said spiritual world is infinite and material world is also infinite and material world is quarter of spiritual world.
Yeah.
That part I don't understand. How can we say quarter of infinite?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... That is exactly what Srila Prabhupada said. I can find a quote and show you. So that's the description. That's information coming directly from the Lord that this material creation, it's as small as 1/4 of that portion. How to describe it in detail, I myself don't know. Maybe someone else can. But it's that's what is described in many, many places. I think I have one of you. Maybe I have a quote here on that. No, he just says form. Yeah, he just says a minute offshoot. Yeah. Okay. And it, yeah. Yes. So yes, it's there. That it's inconceivable. So Because it's spiritual, then it's ever expanding and inconceivable. So with our tiny brains, if we try to understand the unlimited, it's going to be a problem because we won't be able to. So Srila Prabhupada advises us, better we follow and we accept. I mean, that doesn't quite answer your question. Because you're a devotee, you would accept what I'm saying here. But if I tell a non-devotee, they probably would not. But in essence, you know, we have to accept, like there's so many places we don't know about, but we accept that it exists. We accept that there's a certain measurement. We accept some authority, and that's the idea. Acceptance of authority. So here is one quote on that Srila Prabhupada talks about it. Acceptance of authority. This is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, text 32, purport. It says, Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of his plenary parts, expands himself all over the material world, and his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, in all these, one can perceive the manifestation of Paramatma, feature of the Lord, by proper spiritual culture. As from wood, fire body can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam is a bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. That's what we're talking about. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, this spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. So here the whole process is oral reception of hearing and accepting also, because if one accepts as the spiritual master says, one accepts what our scripture says, you know, we're placing our faith here. We have to place our faith somewhere. So it's best to place our faith in spiritual topics and accept these matters, and then that eventually that understanding would come. Trivikram Prabhu, then
Sthiti Dimuni Prabhu. So the scientist says that they have able to see 226 sextillion miles away. And a sextillion has like 21 zeros behind.
Okay.
So you can imagine, and still that's not all. They said there's still a lot of things to be seen, but so far they have seen that much.
Yeah, so you know, they're trying to use their experimental knowledge, and that's okay.
And a quick point, we have three Harinams a week, one in Alatra, one in High Spring, and one in Gainesville. So all the devotees are welcome to join.
Oh, right? Thank you very much. Yeah.
And here's Titi. High Springs is 5 o'clock and Alatra 5 and
what
Gainesville 4. High Springs is on Mondays 5 and Alatra Wednesday 5 and Gainesville Friday at 4.
Yeah.
Yes, Titi Muni
Prabhu. On the 25%, I mean, it's not like it's an experiment in classical physics, you know, or mathematics. You know, it's not like they're, you know, it's an airline and it's calculating the distance and how much fuel they need to get there. I mean, it's just, you know, the spiritual world's incredibly expansive, and so is the material world. And of the two, the spiritual world is the grander manifestation. In any rate, even if it's the exact calculation, you know, 25%, you know, it's such a huge, first place is the limit, as we're discussing, you can't do it. But even if there was, it's just so huge, it's still inconceivable. So, I don't know, but it sounds like the takeaway is the spiritual world's a much grander place, a desirable place to be. Not to be in the 25% place when you can get the bigger place.
Excuse me.
Hey, we are here.
Huh? Yeah, I'm saying intelligent people. Mm-hmm. party.
Yes, so yeah, the whole, it's stated even in this, in these purports that I've read too, that they, each one of these expansions, they have their own Vaikuntha planets. So Krishna said he has unlimited manifestations, and all these unlimited manifestations have their planets. So that gives you the understanding too of how, what we can use the term in our English, how unlimited the unlimited is. Yes, Mataji, Prematarini?
Prematarangini.
Tarangini, Mataji, yeah.
Prabhu, we often hear this Ekapad Vibhuti, Tripad Vibhuti, right? And we're having a whole discussion on this. So we tend to understand that it's 25%. So it's not literally like it's 25% of the spiritual world, but like in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there's a description of how the Lord's Vibhutis means like there's the Goloka Vrindavan, there's Vaikuntha, there's Ramajyoti, and then there's the material world. So it's described that, so it's 1/4 of those vibhutis, like meaning 3/4 mm-hmm. are the spiritual world, and then the 1/4 is material world. So it's not exactly like, oh, it's just like 25%. It's 1/4 of the vibhutis of the Lord.
Yeah, I use 25% to just compare it to a quarter.
Yeah, yeah. But above. Like this. Mm. Yeah, anyway.
Yes. Yes. Okay. What does vibhuti mean?
One is vibhu, one is bhuti. Vibhu is opulence, bhuti means impacting, affecting, influencing. So the opulence total, how it is affecting and influencing, that's what it is.
What are those four qualities?
Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, Brahma Jyoti, and then the material world.
So, yeah, that's another way of, yeah, understanding the four sections. So, basically what you're saying is like they're the four sections. Yeah, but some places Srila Prabhupada clarified that that one section, the material world, is like, yeah, 1/4, some places it even says 1/4. Actually give like a definition of, not only that, four sections, one can be 1%, on the other can be 80%. No, but in particular, you know, 1/4. Mother Sukadev?
I mean, in one sense, it's impossible to describe the spiritual world. I remember once when some of the artists were asking Prabhupada, like, what, you know, we painted Krishna this color, and here he's different color, and here it's different. Like, what color, exactly what color is Krishna, you know? And so Prabhupada said, he stopped, and for a while he was kind of like in trance. He said, I do not know what color that is.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's part of it, you know? You can't put a number on it, you know? It's just kind of
indescribable. In essence and conclusion is that the purpose of all our practice of Krishna consciousness is to know enough to get us back home, back to Godhead. Not to know enough about this world or the spiritual world. It's not practical because Krishna says even his first expansion, Baladev, with unlimited hoods and unlimited mouths, unlimited tongues, and unlimited time, cannot describe all his glories. So, yeah. Okay, Pandit. Wait, one more mother.
Also, I was reading Bhagavatam, it's quite amazing where Prabhupada was saying that, you know, there's some devotees, let's say they're on the front lines or distributing books or whatever, but he was saying that anyone that even appreciates that, they get the same benefit as those in the front lines. So, you know, the motel owner, and the people that came down from the 30th story, it's kind of inexplicable again, but that's what Prabhupada said, they get the same benefit, so the mercy just flows.
But we who are practitioners have to be careful to not to think, well, okay, here is what Prabhupada said. I have this quote, I'm going to hang it up on my wall, that who appreciates get the same benefit that who practice. So therefore, I don't have to practice. I can just... Yeah, no, I'm just want to say, because sometimes, you know, we tend to think like that. Okay, Krishna is equal to everyone. He's equally disposed to the demons and the devotees. So then, why should I be a devotee? I can be a demon, he's going to appreciate me, and, you know, equally disposed as well. So we just... These are some clarifications that I always like to like reconcile that between myself, that okay, I should be on the good side of things, not on the, you know, the bad side. Yes, Pram Govinda Prabhu, last question or comment?
I was wondering, because Abhigyan Prabhu asked that question, it's a very legitimate question. It's not like something to be ignored.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, why did Mahaprabhu spend time with Sanatana Goswami in Madhya Lila Chaitanya Chaitanya? When he asked the question, how big is the spiritual world? And Mahaprabhu spent time, you can see like 17, 18 sloka. He said, you multiply by 10. So you take a space, whatever you are familiar, the earth planet or anything, then you multiply by 10. Then Sanatana Goswami says, okay. Then you multiply by 8. Then you multiply by 100. Then you multiply by 10. Again you multiply by 1,000. Then after some time, Sanatana Goswami Pada says, I can't calculate anymore. He said, now you know it's unlimited, what is this? Because our brain, we cannot just say unlimited. We have to have some kind of intelligent satisfaction. Then we can appreciate the unlimited. Otherwise, why did Mahaprabhu spend so much time?
Yes, yeah, and so I was speaking mainly in the context of devotees who would like here, or who probably listening, most of them probably devotees, that we accept the concept. But if we go out there, they will not accept the concept. So we have to give some things, and that's where people like Stitadimoni comes in, you know, and the other scientists and so forth, or, you know, like eloquent preachers like yourself that can expound, you know, the philosophy in such a way so that we can, you know, we can, or others can understand. For many of us, at least one like me, you know, I can more be like an inside person because I have some little faith of chanting and hearing and so forth. But as far as like with expansive philosophy or philosophical or scientific understanding, how all these things work, I don't really know. So that's why Srila Prabhupada established this house. Srila Prabhupada said, I have built the skeleton. I have created the skeleton. Now you fill in the gaps.
Yes.
That all these different things, Srila Prabhupada gave the house in which a whole world can live. He didn't say that the house is complete. The house is there, but the house is unlimited also, so it's never complete, so it's always expanding. So, like that.
Thank you
very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
That's a nice